they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Very good morning, listeners, on our 26th and penultimate show for the year of Breakfast with the Blues as we begin our AFL preliminary finals weekend on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. On day 8,758, Brownie, since the mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft, your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best start to your footy weekend on radio today. Your host, as always, are myself, John Allen, Chris Brownie, Andy Jones, and jury young Richie Bilsich. On the program today, as always, we look at AFL news, Blues news, pardon me, and a review of week three of the finals. Special guest live interviews today. It's the one and only Greg Diesel Williams.
Woo!
We cross live to the hyphen as always on the shirt front. Have a chat with David Rees-Jones there about the Blues and about the preliminary finals and any other issues. Upcoming WA Blues supporter event details. There's only one left for the year. And that'll be the grand final due at the Empire. We'll have a chat about that. And, of course, the much-anticipated weekly whack. So we look forward to that. Who's doing the weekly whack this week? Has anyone prepared anything?
No, I didn't prepare anything.
Oh, well then, okay, I'll put my hand up. Oh, hang on, Brownie.
No, I don't have a whack, but I can do something about mental health, if you like.
Yeah, no worries, that'd be good. Yeah. That'd be good. So, and we did have Kenny Hunter on earlier in the year talking about the fifth quarter, so that'd be great. Chris, while we got you on the mic there, mate, we got to thank a few of our wonderful partners, sponsors and friends who this show wouldn't exist without, and the WA Blues as well wouldn't be going where it's going without our friends. So give them a thanks.
That we do, John. We thank WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Pictures Framers, and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
And our last event next week at the Empire, well, it's not a WA Blues event, it's an Empire event where everyone's invited down, but we'll be there in numbers, of course, and it's going to be a great day, and we just can't thank them enough for the year again. So well done to the Empire. Now, Andy, what do we got in AFL news this week? It's been a pretty quiet week in news, hasn't it?
Totally quiet. I've got four key news items today. Number one is Richmond got the job done by 19 points in last night's prelim final against Geelong at the MCG in front of 94,000 screaming fans. Trailing by 21 points at halftime, it took just 40 seconds for the Tigers to find their mojo, and they kicked five straight to begin the third term. From that moment on, the Tigers' grip on a grand final berth tightened and was helped when ex-Carlton player Lachie Henderson went up for a mark and spoiled a teammate's goal.
Well done, Lachie.
We love seeing Lachie's chase for that elusive premiership go belly up year after year, and good luck to Richmond for the in the grand final.
Shout out to the cheer squad for their posts on that.
tell me, Andy, did his mother ring up?
I don't think she did, but I'm surprised that she... Yeah, anyway.
We all shed a tear for Lachie there last time.
Let's just hope that Jack Graham can recover from that shoulder dislocation and play a crucial role next week. Yep. Number two is Toby Green needs to learn to keep his hands away from the eyes, faces and heads of his opponents when they're on the bottom of a pack. Green will not play for GWS in today's prelim final against the Giants and the Magpies at the MCG after the AFL Appeals Board upheld Green's charge of making unreasonable, unnecessary contact to the eye region of Brisbane's Lachie Neale in last weekend's semi-final. This decision has divided the nation, but I think the right call was made. It's the only way Green is going
too,
to
mate.
Learn.
It's divided us too.
Everyone. Yes. It's been polarising. And I've certainly been on the opposite end of Andy's thoughts on that for my own reasons. And everyone has. It's been fascinating to watch on social media and everything else. But, I'll touch on that later on the weekly whack, mate. You know what I mean? We'll see how we go. But I'll try and keep it tangible and subjective.
Fair enough. The third point is it's been a luckless season for Lachie Whitfield, who'll miss the Giants' prelim final today against the Maggies. After breaking a collarbone earlier on in the season, Lachie succumbed to appendicitis on Tuesday and will sit out today's do or die clash as he recovers from Wednesday's surgery. And the last point comes with a sombre tone as we remember Danny Frawley. The Piper played Oh When the Saints, Danny Boy, while heartbroken family, friends and fans said goodbye to Spud as he did one last lap around St Kilda's spiritual home at Moorabbin Oval. Around 3,000 people gathered at the grounds. Frawley played 72 of his 240 games out on Wednesday to give him one final send-off following a 90-minute funeral service at nearby Kingston Town Hall. What a heartbreaking and heartaching, powerful end to the life of a much-loved and man. And as mentioned when Wayne Schwoss did his eulogy, to quote Danny, manning up in the past was to suffer in silence, manning up now is to put your hand up again. If you're in need, folks, reach out to your loved ones, family, friends and organisations such as Beyond Blue and Lifeline.
And Andy, just listening to you talk about Danny Frawley over the last couple of weeks, it obviously has had a huge impact on you and a big effect on you. Can you just take us through that? And I only ask because we haven't spoken about it, and we can spend a minute or so talking about it. Why not? That's what we're about, and awareness. So why does it affect you so much? It's very emotional for you. We can hear that in your voice. I can see that looking at you here on the panel the last couple of weeks. It's been fascinating for me to watch this. It's really, really touched you deeply. So can you just explain a bit of that if you're comfortable doing that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's a history of mental health issues on both sides of my family. So it's an issue that's really close to my heart and one that I try to advocate for as best I can.
Excellent.
Well done, mate.
Thanks, mate, and well done. So, look, fantastic stuff. Just the Lockie Whitfield one, guys, going back to that, how unlucky.
It is.
You know, poor old Toby getting rubbed down unfairly, Lockie being brutalised and having to go through appendicitis as a result. So they've had it up against him a little bit. If they can get over the Pies today, what a fantastic win for their club. I know they've played in prelims and semis over the last 4 years. This is a big game. If they're showing resolve. I like the Giants.
Yeah.
They get everyone calling them the corporate Giants and everything else. But you know what? They've done it different to Gold Coast. They've shown resolve. I like what they're doing. If they can get over the Pies, it would be as much resolve, I think, as I've seen from a club. And it will just make who they are. They could be the next Eagles of the comp. You never know.
Yep. One thing you just missed out on the AFL news, and I just want to touch on, Essendon have embarked on a success in Japan with assistant coach Ben Rutten to take over from John Worsfold. I hope it's as successful as it was with the Collingwood one and the Melbourne one, so that's all I want.
All of these grand plans, you know, sometimes you just got to strip it back and keep it simple and get the best man for the job, don't you? Yep. You know, like, you know, but to John Worsfold's credit, the way he's come out in the media about it and been supportive of it, I think it'll be very different to the Malthouse situation. Different people.
He was very supportive too at the start, Nick.
Yeah. And then they got to the grand final and a bit of a taste, and he didn't want to let go.
Correct.
So it'll all be interesting to see how it plays out next year. If Essendon have a bit of success and look like they're on the precipice, it'll be hard for him to let go, no doubt. As a coach, you get close to your players, no doubt about it.
Of course.
But yeah, anyway, good luck to Essendon. Good on him. Whatever. Now, just with the AFL news quickly before we move on, the grand final next week, they just can't lose. AFL corporate giant at the moment. It's either going to be a Richmond Collingwood grand final, which is just a blockbuster, full house, TV, everything else, or Richmond GWS. GWS first grand final, Toby Green coming back into the side, maybe Canelio, maybe Whitfield. There'll be so much interest generated by that as well. They're the big winners.
Yep.
I wonder what they'll give back.
Nothing.
Gil.
Nothing.
What are you going to give? Okay, so we'll move on to Jury, and we say good morning to Yuri for the first time today to give us a quick AFL preliminary final review of last night and predictions for today.
Yes, morning, John. Yes, last night's prelim final between Richmond and Geelong. What a game it was, for especially the Tigers making it 3-2, a second grand final in 3 years. They had to do it the hard way, especially in the first half with Geelong's ball pressure corralling Richmond's defence, which they haven't experienced for at least a good 1 or 2 months, which saw them 21 points down at half-time. However, as you'd expect from Richmond, they stormed right back into the contest and eventually took a four-point lead heading into three-quarter time. The game was still in the balance by the last quarter, but however, Richmond's class and skill showed up in the end. The likes of Bashir Hulia and Dion Prestia were absolutely magnificent with 32 touches and 28 touches respectively. Prestia also had two goals to go along with his 28 disposals. I also thought Dylan Grimes was brilliant last night as well, and since Alex Rance went down the opening round against Carlton, he's taking his game to another level, which saw him secure his maiden All-Australian berth this season. I think that another aspect as well from last night, Cochin and Martin didn't really have big influences in a way, so that helped the team a lot. So everyone did their part as well. And it wasn't anything against Geelong. They had a lot of contributors, but just when it mattered in the end, Richmond came up trumps. And as I said before, will be in their second grand final in 3 years.
And even guys like Castagna, who I like, Richmond.
Oh, you know, he stood up massively.
And what he does in other games as well, I've noticed with him, and this is what Richmond do very well across the board with all their players, whether they get 8 touches, 14 touches for the game, the touches are all, they're all quality, damaging. They're all effective, but mostly. And they're very composed. They just seem composed. Geelong were showing a lot of that when they were playing in their good patches as well.
Yeah.
Not
good.
Rushing, showing composure, making good decisions. But weighted numbers with Richmond, they do it very, very well. They'll be hard to beat next week.
Yeah, I thought that's in the second half that Geelong just kept bombing the ball like too deep. They should have taken it back a little bit further, try and stretch the Richmond defence and make them play into zones. But
do you think they were still looking for Tommy Hawkins? He was up in the stand. I saw him a few times.
The cameras were placed on him like 2 minutes before the game finished.
I was screaming at the big LED screen at work, kick it to Lockie.
Because you knew he'd doubt it.
Because I really wanted Richmond to win. Now, go on.
Yeah. How did Chris Scott go? Did he win those mind games?
I don't think so. Nah. He really stirred the pot up during the week with his comments. But, you know, you got to start somewhere before a big prelim final.
We do. Now, what we'll do is we'll move straight on to today's big game, Collingwood GWS.
Yeah.
Yuri, how do you see that pan now, mate?
Oh, it's going to be an absolute ripper of a game. And one thing as well, I found out this morning reading about the forecast for the game, showers.
Wet.
17
Ooh.
Degrees.
Wet.
So
wet.
I don't really know who is going to play into the hands of, you see.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting, like 50-50 now.
I'd like to think the Giants, personally.
I think so. I think it brings, it levels the playing field for them with the adversity and the injuries and everything that they've had leading up to this game. If that's the case, then, and you need a bit of mung in those games, and they got plenty of that. They got spades of guys that are just desperate and hungry, and they're being led by guys like Mummy, spiritual leader. Yes.
Well, he needs to stand up.
He does. Yeah,
he does.
Stop giving away so many silly free kicks as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he should be sharpening up the fingernails and getting in there with everything he's got, personally. But no, we're not about that. So, be a fascinating game to watch. We'll see
Giants.
How it all goes. Okie doke. Have we got anything, any new updates on Blues injuries with the squad or anything like that, Brandy? Probably not that I know.
No, it's the same as last week. We've got those three guys, Marchbanks, Williamson and Lang, who'll start pre-season training mid to late November. Doherty.
Yeah, Bali at the moment, wouldn't they, with the rehab?
I think most of them are making their way back at the moment. Soon we've got the big John Nichols award coming up.
Yes.
And Doc has said that his rehab's been real solid, but he won't be doing any contact, taking any of those drills until after Christmas, so taking a bit cautious with the Doc. Yeah. Because we want
his name, Dr. Brown, the guy he's seen over
there. Billy Knowles. How can we forget Billy?
Big shout out to Billy. Love Billy.
Cheers, Billy.
And we've had any movements or delistings any further since the last time we mentioned it all. All we've got at the moment is more trade whispers.
Yes, plenty of those.
Plenty of those.
And can't wait to speak to Dan Williams when we get him on next week about that.
Yes.
The great analyst and the great trade analyst. He's got the science down to an art. So, okie doke. Well, then we'll move on to, and obviously then no Blues news or anything like that.
Oh, no, we've got a bit of that. We've got a bit.
Yes. Henry Playfair was announced head of coaching performance on Tuesday afternoon, joining new head of development, Luke Power, as the additions to Carlton's coaching panel.
That's right.
We covered Luke Power's appointment a couple of weeks back, so...
Can I just jump in on one that's doing the rounds at the moment while we're talking about coaches?
Yeah.
John Longmuir.
Yeah. Justin Longmuir.
Justin Longmuir, sorry. Yeah. They're talking about he's pulled out of Freo. And he's good mates with T, and they're talking about him as coming in as the director of coaching.
I like that. That sounds really good.
It's getting bigger and bigger. Watch this space.
Watch this space.
So he's done a pretty good job at Collingwood over a couple of years, taking them to the precipice. So it'd be amazing little twists there this week when that was sort of been... Yeah. It's growing legs, but you know, it's all media and social media stuff at the moment, so it probably means nothing. But if it's true, you beauty.
Yep.
One crucial point that I want to make about Blues News is Jess Hosking. She's been included in the final four and has a good chance to win the Jim Steins Community Leadership Award to be announced on Monday night at the Brownlow. Absolutely. Yeah, Jess is a busy girl. She works at four charities and, she's super, a super busy girl, and I really hope she gets the nod on Monday night.
Yeah, agree with you.
Yeah. Well, she's busy. We tried to get her on the program for a chat, and it's great. We got to speak to Maddie Presbarkas this year, but tried to get Taylor Harris and Jess Hosking, and those guys are just so sought after. It was impossible to get them, but, you know, we'll, as usual, keep working away. We'll probably get them next year. So, look, thanks for that. Anything
quick,
else, Blues?
Quick one. The AFLW Academy bidding process resulted in us picking up Grace Egan with pick number 13. And come October 22, we've got picks 2, 26, 36, 44, 52 and 59 in the upcoming NAB AFLW draft on October 22.
Just one thing. Yeah. Remember all you blue baggers. Carlton memberships are out now, 2020 on sale. Get in there.
Oh, yes. And some big announcements coming up for the WA Blues soon. We'll wait till after the trade and draft periods because, obviously, with Jared Garlett being delisted, we're going to be sponsoring a new player come 2020.
Great.
And we're in conversations almost weekly with our liaison at the club, and we've got priority. And so we've got to wait till after the trade and draft period, and there'll be some... pretty exciting announcements there for the men's senior team and the AFLW team as well.
Fantastic.
Great. So WA Blues are going to be certainly contributing back to the club more and into the community more as well and supporting these great players.
Well done.
So, getting involved.
Very good.
Now, it is time to go for a break. When we come back... the great man himself, 250-game player, dual Brownlow medalist, Norm Smith medalist.
Should have been a triple.
Blues Premiership player. Yes, but apparently back then you couldn't touch the shirt of an umpire without getting 9 weeks. So we'll have Greg Diesel Williams on the program when we come back, guys. Go Blues. Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blues food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. TechTiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
TechTiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a blue bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to 91.3 Sport FM, where it's 23 minutes past 9 o'clock here on this Saturday morning, the 21st of September.
And our special guest, thanks for that, Yuri. Bring me
all
in.
Good,
I'm back on my chair now. Thanks, everyone. We're running a little bit late there during the ad break. But, yeah, we've got our special guest waiting for us online. 250-game player, dual Brownlow medalist, Norm Smith medalist, Carlton Premiership player, 95. He was here a couple of weeks ago for the Legends Dinner, and apparently he's a pretty funny bloke as well. So everyone really enjoyed it, and we're very privileged and honoured to have him here on Breakfast with the Blues for the first time today. Diesel, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Going well, thanks. How are you, boys?
Yeah, very well.
Going great, thank you.
Thanks, Diesel.
Now, Diesel, it's been a big week in the AFL this week. Toby Green, I just thought that you might be one of the more qualified people to maybe pass on an opinion on not so much the innocent. I don't really care anymore, to be honest, whether he was guilty or not. We've all got our own polarising opinions on that. But just the scrutiny over that, and the way the process was handled by the AFL Tribunal and the way they do things now compared to back in your day with these type of high-profile incidents with high-profile players. What do you think about how it all went down the last week?
It's pretty amazing Toby Green's record, like how many times he's been there and got off, and because he's been reported about 16 times or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty amazing, but you know, they just let it go, and I think even the Bontempelli one a couple of weeks before. It was just ridiculous what he was trying to do. And he got off that, and then he's done it again, you know. Probably not as bad as even the Bontempelli one, but, you know, he just paid for it, and, you know, it's his own fault, really.
Wasn't that the AFL's fault, though, that, don't you reckon, Diesel? Because that one with the Bontempelli, they didn't even ask for a suspension. They just asked for a fine. So it backfired, and then this week he goes and bang, he's straight out.
Yeah.
The tail's
correct.
Certainly wagging.
Yeah, no, it's built up.
Yeah.
Built up over the weeks and weeks of, you know, him being up so many times, and they finally got him at the worst time.
Yeah. Good day, Greg. It's Chris here, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
That's good, mate. You were tied to Carlton as part of the zoning hailing from Bendigo, but you were overlooked on two occasions in 82 and 83 by, again at that same time, Parko was the coach. And then you came back in 92, again Parko was the coach. How was your conversations with him when you finally arrived at Princes Park?
Oh, look, back in the early days I was only 18 and 19, and the Blues were winning premierships in the early 80s. I had a mosquito fleet then.
Yep.
And you know, I played a few seconds or practice matches and things like that, but didn't really get a chance at all, really, to show what I could do. And yeah, and Parko was obviously coached, and I ended up writing to Tom Hafey to get a pre-season down there, and he let me come down to Geelong, which started off my career. But yeah, and then I went back, obviously, and I always wanted to play for Carlton, and it just took me a long time to get there. It was a lot harder than I thought, but finally got back there, and I had a great time when I got back. We had a pretty good team. We built up a real good team and ended up, I won a Brownlow at Carlton, and obviously...
Should have been two, mate. Should have been two.
Yeah, could have been two, yeah. Yeah, but that's... Yeah, 95 was the best day of my life, really, and the team won the premiership, and, yeah, it just all went beautifully.
Sensational, Diesel. Thanks for that photo. This is Andy Jones, by the way, Diesel. Thanks for the photo on the that unexpected photo the other night at the Legends of Carlton dinner. That was fantastic, mate. You snuck up behind me, and I really appreciate that, mate. That was good of you, mate. So the Brownlow's on Monday night, and I'm just wondering, Diesel, what does the name John Russo do to you after he refused to award you a single vote in your 44 possession game against the D's in 93?
Don't miss anyone, do you?
Here's that Brownlow.
I hope he's not there. he's not my favourite guy, but that's just footy the way it went. Unfortunately, he actually cheated and didn't vote for me, which is really disappointing.
Correct.
That's why I was so pissed off.
Totally.
Really.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, it wasn't a. There's so many players haven't got a vote because they probably deserve one. You know, Lee Matthews never won a Brownlow. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys that didn't get votes when they should have, but he actually deliberately didn't vote for me, which is disappointing for him.
Yeah.
Who are you backing for the Brownlow on Monday night, Diesel?
Oh, look, I hope Cripps gets there. Oh, I think he's a big chance. You know, he got a lot of votes last year. He voted in a lot of games. But he didn't get many threes, you know, because they didn't win any games. So this year they won a few more games. Hopefully he can get, you know, twos and threes and, yeah, get right up there and hopefully he can pull it off. He's just, yeah, as you know, he's a super player and it'd be just great for him and the club if he could win the Brownlow as well.
Absolutely.
Morning, Diesel. It's Yuri here. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, good, thank you. And also, once again, what Andy said, thank you for the photo a couple of Saturday nights ago. It was an absolute honour.
No, it's all right, mate.
Great.
It's not that hard.
Great, thank you. I just want to talk about the 95 Premiership season because it was a very interesting one indeed. You guys went 20-2 during the home and away season, won the first seven games. However, you guys hit a bit of a minor speed bump, losing to St Kilda and Sydney, which David Parkin went on to quote, "We're the best team in the competition for the first 7 weeks and now we're the worst team in the comp," and just seen it absolutely galvanise the team, routing Hawthorn by 102 points the following week. But now into the finals, it was really interesting in a way, especially the grand final with Geelong. They decided to really bring out the physicality against you guys for like the first 5-10 minutes, and it just totally backfired in a way. What do you see just from there, and then how you guys were able to totally ambush them on the outside, and especially yourself winning the Norm Smith with 31 touches and 5 goals?
Mm. Yeah, no, well, lad, I think I missed 2 games that year and we lost both of them. I think that was the reason.
Was it a broken forearm that you had?
No, it wasn't broken. I can't even remember what I was injured for, but it was obviously, yeah. I wasn't there, that's why they lost. But the 95 day, the Cats, you know, they just weren't tough enough, really. They thought they were tough, but they weren't tough enough. And I think we were 10 goals up at half time.
Yeah.
And,
it was your birthday as well, wasn't it, Diesel?
Yeah.
It was, yes. It was. 32, and I think it was great. I went down there. I had a function with Sticks again last night, which was good fun, and got home too late. But it was just great playing down forward for a change with him, and both kicked 5. And, you know, just the day just panned out beautifully for us, and we ended up 16 in a row we won. And, it was just great for me personally and the team, of course. So it was a huge day.
Diesel, just taking a step back to your post-career, but fairly recently, in 2013, it was publicised that you were struggling with a degenerative brain disease that was a result of many knocks playing football. It was affecting your memory. How are you going with everything now? How's your health? And how's that journey been for you? And you're back at Carlton now and seem to be enjoying life, but how's everything going with your health, mate? Everything good?
Yeah, no, everything's pretty good, thanks. I have got a fair few issues with my memory and stuff, I really have, but look, day-to-day is no problem. It's just remembering things way back or even last week, you know, it's just difficult. But no, look, I'll get my looked after. I'm actually back at Carlton working. I'm there again next year. I've caught up with Tiggy this week, so it's looking really exciting, the Blues. I'm working with all the whole list regards to skills and development and kicking handball and stuff like that, which is, well, I love doing that stuff, so I'm looking forward to it.
How you have this year and moving forward, working with guys like Paddy Dow, who we're hoping to see continue with his improvement, obviously Sammy Walsh, and the rest of the midfield group as well. How do you see him going next year, the improvement, the KPIs, everything else? How do you think they're tracking? How are they going to go that next year?
Oh, look, I think there's a lot of excitement there because they're low picks and they're talented. You know, even Dale, you see glimpses of his speed and his talent. There's no doubt about it. You've got Stocker coming through. He's going to be, I reckon he's going to be a really good player, like a really good player, midfielder.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's strong. He's tough. He's tough as hell, that guy. He really is. And that's just what we need. And, Sam Walsh, what a year he's had. There's O'Brien, Fisher. Like, there's a lot of talent around. And another pre-season, but they're all only 19 and 20. You know? People forget how young they are. They're still probably 2 or 3 years away from being at their best, but I'm sure you're going to see some big improvement even in next season.
Yeah.
absolutely.
Fantastic.
Well, mate, you got another question?
No, I didn't have another question.
Mate, you've always got another question. Oh, don't sit there and tell me we haven't got another question.
No, it's just about that forearm diesel that you broke, or was it just a cast that you just had to wear?
No, it was broken.
Yeah, because you missed a month.
I had a plate in there.
Yeah, because
I had a plate in there with screws and that, so when you hit it, I just wear a guard because when you hit the screws, it hurts like hell.
Whose head was that that you hit, mate?
The old ear massage.
I think it was accidental.
I always thought that was a bit like the old rock and roll wrestling, and he just used it as a weapon out there. But I tell you what, it didn't affect those deadly hand passes, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it's something that we all still talk about today. And there's a few ruckmen out there that do it quite effectively, and there's a couple of midfields that aren't too bad at it. But your deadly accurate 30-40 meter hand passes, left and right hand. Just even the little ones out of the packs, you're so valuable. And we see a little bit of that with some of the guys coming through, and we're glad you're there mentoring them. And, mate, we thank you very much for your time that you've generously given up for us today. Good luck for next season with the boys. We really hope you're a part of something very, very special at the Blues. And, mate, we wish you well. We hope you come back next year for the Legends Dinner as well.
Oh, yeah, it's 95.
Yeah, 95.
I think just the WA supporters, the Blues fans over there, will just get join up with your group and the Blues Supporters Club and things like that, because I think the next 2 or 3 years is going to be a lot of fun.
You're not wrong there.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, mate. And when you do come next year, you'll have to come to our home at the Empire, which is just around the corner from the old Crown there, and you'll see something very, very special and how strong we still are over here in WA. Thanks again for your time, mate.
Sounds good.
Look forward to catching up with you again in the near future. Have a great day.
Anytime. See you, boys.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Diesel.
Good on you, mate.
Excellent.
Gregory Donald Diesel Williams. Yeah. What an honour and an absolute pleasure having him on today. Good conversation. Flowed well. Interesting to hear his thoughts on Toby Green. Wasn't what I expected.
Not that I thought he'd be supportive of Toby or anything like that.
Good on him. He's wrong. But
anyway. I was talking to Andy, and I did want to ask him a question, but I thought it'd be wrong, hence why I didn't ask it.
Oh, you can ask it.
I'm going to say it now. Correct. Yeah. A lot of Blues supporters who are not as old as me may not remember, but when he actually made his debut for the Blues, he didn't make it until round 7 of that year, because he was actually rubbed out, deregistered by the league for 11 weeks because of salary cap irregulations with Sydney.
Right.
So, and I didn't want to bring. I was thinking, should I? But I thought, better not. Just let it go.
I can't say I'd forgotten about that one because I can't recall ever.
It was in 91. Sydney were fined $50,000. Williams was fined $25,000 and deregistered by the league for 11 weeks.
That's a hurting fine back then. That hurts nowadays.
I was going to bring that up, and I thought I wanted to ask. Did Colo have anything to do with it? And I thought, I better not.
You know what that reminds me of? Kirk Tippett back in 2012. You remember? He got the bad half of 2013 to cross from Adelaide to Sydney.
Yep.
Exactly the same thing in a way. Yep.
But forget about that. Yep. He was one of the greatest footballers I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And those hand passes.
The no-look
hand passes. I love watching the highlights. And he knew. You talk about the forwards that have the synergy, like the Cracker Brothers and stuff like that. He just had synergy with everyone. He knew where anyone was. He didn't have to look up. That handball would go out and just hit him straight.
Just had eyes in the back of his head.
Unbelievable awareness.
He did mention in the interview with him that he always wanted to come back to play for Carlton.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that, because in the social club back in the days, when he was playing for Sydney and Geelong, he would be in this Carlton social club. It was just, and he was always wanting to come back. It was just getting him back.
Chris Brownie was always there hiding in
the closet. I was not in the closet, but I was there.
When he came out of the closet, it was the greatest day of his life.
God, I've been in the closet.
Guys, we've got a couple of minutes.
Better not tell my missus that.
We've got a couple of minutes, guys. Look, just on that quickly with our midfield group and... having guys like Diesel there mentoring him. We were talking about Justin Longmuir coming to the club as well. There's been a few changes there in the coaching department with Watson leaving us.
Yep.
Now, interested to know everyone's opinion on this one. Let's just say the social media scuttlebutt's true and we end up having John Longmuir coming as a defensive coach and head assistant coach probably, no doubt.
Yep.
Where does that leave John Barker now? He's been at the club, and nothing against John Barker, great guy. I've loved it whenever they've come over here, and I've always spent time with him. But there are other clubs that are looking at him as well. They're already starting to maybe see some stuff. I think he's gone. What do you guys think about that?
Totally agree. He has knocked back approaches from other clubs in the past, but totally agree that I think if Longmuir comes in, that Barker will be on the bike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Totally agree with that one.
Well,
I think Longmuir,
he needs it as well, I think.
You need a change. You need
nothing against him. Great guy. Probably a very, very good assistant coach. Yeah. But it hasn't... before the big turnover of players, before Bolton even, everything else, he was there. He's overseen a lot of stuff and hasn't had a lot of success. I think a change would be just as good for him as it would be for
us. He's definitely done his time as well. Yeah. He's done a lot for the club as well, Marks.
Yep, absolutely. And again, no disrespect to him. I just thought that was an interesting one to bring up. Because our coaching panel is shaping really well now. It's more of a football department coaching panel.
Absolutely.
Like what the Geelongs and the Hawthorns and that have created
Collingwoods.
So, we'll
don't say that word.
We'll see.
But just some of the regular
teams. Yuri loves talking about Collingwood,
doesn't he?
It drives me insane. guys, it is time to go for a break. When we come back, our good friend, the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, will be joining us for the shirt front, and we're going to barrel straight into that shoulder first in just a couple of minutes after a few words from our sponsors. So go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Morning, everyone, and welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues here on 91.3 Sport FM, where it's 18 minutes to 10 o'clock. Now let's move on to a bit of trade news, if we shall. Andy and Chris?
Okay, Yuri. Well, the first one that I've just looked at is an
things doing the social media network and in the newspaper, actually,
yeah,
is that Eddie Betts has declined an offer from the Gold Coast Suns and is looking, we think, to come back to the Blues. What do you reckon, Andy?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, why did we dump Daisy, who's 32 years old, for in favour of Eddie Betts, who's also 32 years of age? I mean, look, horses for courses. We're short of small forwards, and we need another 40 goals a year, and Eddie's perfect for that.
Yeah, and the good thing is we're all the names that are starting to wanting or suggesting they want to come to the Blues, we're starting to become a destination club again, which is always good.
And if you keep winning, it always works. It's a recipe for a big tick, in a way.
What about, just a quick one, what about, what did Cripper say to, what's his name?
Luke Darcy on Triple M?
Yeah, he absolutely burnt him. It was great.
It was good listening. It was good listening, actually.
Yeah, he said at least 10 people got it right. And he dropped the mic and he walked off and left Darcy to mumble on with all of his excuses. But anyway.
That's to do with the Sam Walsh voting, yeah?
Correct, yeah. Sorry, should have clarified that.
Yeah, our Cripper's a ripper, mate. And speaking to his mum and dad and family and everything else, and you can see where it comes from.
Yeah.
And, he's as sharp as a whip. Great to talk to. Look, guys, we're back now with the Hive. Again, I'm late, as I was with our guests. A couple issues with the phone, but we've got him online. So, everyone, this man, as we know, Norm Smith medalist, premiership player, absolute dead set legend of a bloke to have a frothy with if you're ever over in Melbourne as well, WA Blues. So go to a game and try and catch up with the great man. And we bring him on now for the first time this morning. Good morning, Hyphen. How you going, mate?
Good. How's it all going there?
Sunny as always over here
not
in Perth,
mate.
It's a beautiful day. Everyone enjoyed the prelim last night. Good backwards and forwards game to watch. What did you think of the game?
Oh, yeah, look, I think if I was Chris Scott, I would have woke up this morning, I would have gone around to Tom Hawkins' house and whacked him straight on the nose.
Yeah.
I think the big Tom Hawkins, I would have got the job done, but, Lynch was probably the difference there.
Yeah, in
the end.
Amazing. Dominant.
But, it's raining over here today, so I'm guessing that it's coming down reasonably hard at the moment, so... So we're going to have a wet day today.
So long as that's all the Collingwood supporters crying, mate, we'll be happy.
Yeah, well, I doubt that's going to be the case, to be honest. I think the GWS are just missing too many of their stars, really. I mean, it's not only Quinfield and Toby Green, but Coniglio, obviously, early in the year, and he's missing. And people forget Callum Ward, too, who's probably one of their best players. Hasn't been out there. So they've probably got four of them, you know. They might be in the top five, I suppose, with Jerry and Cameron. And four of those guys are not playing. So you just, you know, it's bad luck. But I think it makes it a lot easier for the Pies.
We were talking about it earlier, though, Dave, and one thing that GWS have shown as a group this year has been resolve. They've shown it time and time again this year, backs to the wall. You've got to love that about that squad. Collingwood wouldn't want to be slightly off their game or getting ahead of themselves like Eddie Maguire and a couple of the others have in the media this week. They wouldn't want to go out there like that because it's raining in Melbourne. You would think that the Giants are still a chance, wouldn't you?
Yeah, look, they'll come out hard. They've shown a real aggressive nature in the first two finals, which I think's helped them. You know, that's really been good for them. And I think they'll try it again tonight. They have to. They've got nothing to lose. And they'll have a real crack at it. But I just think the class of all those midfielders going through that Collingwood midfield are just going to really test them in the stages. Look, as much as I hate saying it, I honestly think Collingwood can win easily tonight, but then go on next week and end up equal on us with premierships, which is... I just think that could be the case.
No, if they do get through, mate, I'm just hoping for a repeat of 1980.
Yeah, that'd be handy.
Well, you never know. You never know. Look, everyone's talking about Richmond. I think, Collingwood, I think history shows if you lose a grand final and make it again the next year, let Collingwood, when they played Brisbane, the only team to have actually lost two in a row.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, I mean, even with us in 86 and 87, a lot of teams who lose the grand final get in the next year and normally win. I think it's only for once that hasn't happened. So, I think they'll be.
David, I'm gonna tell you, it's always a Collingwood trait. They lost 1980. They lost to us in 81. They lost in 2000. 2001. They lost in 2002. It's just a Collingwood trait. So if they get in, it doesn't matter. Okay. It's all over.
You reckon hand the cup to Richmond already, eh?
Well, if they get in, yes, please.
All right. Well,
the fascinating thing about this is if Collingwood get through today, and that's the case, two squads that are very, very experienced, finals hardened, grand final hardened over the last few years. So I think it will literally just come down to who handles that pressure the best. And Richmond showed that last night. They showed that resolve to fight back. And once they just chipped away at whatever issues in the coaching box they were having to get it back on track, they've got a very good across-the-board squad of contributors and also a very good coaching panel. Yeah. So, fascinating. Go the Giants. Yuri?
The finals, I think it's been a good final series, really. And, they've been good games to watch. And one thing I did criticise the umpires last night. I thought they were terrific. Last week. I thought they were terrific last night. They let the game go and didn't pay those, little tiggy touchwood sort of free kicks. So I thought the umpires were spot on last night. And let's hope that they can do that for the rest of the final series.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, good call. Yuri.
Morning, Hyfe. How's it going?
Very good. Yeah, very good.
Good, thank you. Just about last night's game, Richmond and Geelong, you just sort of felt like after half-time, Richmond got their game going and Geelong sort of played into their hands a little bit with deep entries inside their forward half. It definitely was a recipe which they avoided in the first half, just going a little bit shorter and stretching the Richmond defence. But I think more than that, Bashir Hawley and Dion Prestia were influential last night. And can you just elaborate a bit more how pivotal those two were, considering that Cochin and Martin probably didn't have big games that they expect usually?
Yeah, definitely. Martin was injured, and he was showing that. And Cochin, I think he just wasn't 100% either. But Prestia really stood up in the middle. And when they threw Edwards into the midfield in that second half, and he was terrific. He gives them a real bit of spark. He's got a lot of skill. He's got pace, and he opens the game right up. And Bashir Hawley, as you mentioned, he's had a fantastic year this year. He's just really gone to another level, I reckon. He's been terrific all year. So, they're a bloody good team, and they're going to be hard to beat next week.
G'day, Hyfe. Andy here. Hope all's well. Just coming back to last night's game. A couple of questions for you. What did you think of the Mayo young Grian Myers added to that Hawley fend off last night? And what did you make of Jack Graham's game battling on after dislocating his shoulder?
Yeah, well, you two different parallels there, aren't there?
Exactly.
Look, he obviously played for the free kick, so you've got to give him a little bit of credit for that, I suppose. It's about, had it been reversed or whatever, he'd be looking at it another way. But, and young Graham, people play with injuries all the time and severe injuries at times. And a lot of times you don't even know about them. There's an interesting article over here about Darren Mullane when he played 5 weeks in a row with that broken thumb in 1990. And he was still playing, bloody good football too. So, the courage of footballers is on show, week in, week out. And a lot of it you don't even know about because the clubs keep things pretty well secret throughout the week. And if I have to give you a jab or two here or there during the course of a match to keep you going, and players are only, they're only happy to get out there. I mean, they're footballers, that's their trade. Great to see that kid get out there and the courage shown by him was enormous.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. Chris here, mate. How you doing? That's good. Mate, I just want to harp back on the Toby Green and what he had to go through this week. It's divided on social media. It's divided people, even in this little booth here. I think we're 2-2. Your thoughts on that, mate, and the outcome?
Well, look, I don't like seeing anyone get rubbed out, but when there's no conclusive evidence, and put it this way, if you look at the Tom Hawkins incident, and you look at the Toby Green incident, they both got the same penalty.
Yep.
I think he should have punched him. His body whacked him and got a week anyway. It was trial by media. I think I give it a bit of a parallel to the Teague train sort of thing. I mean, the social media stuff seems to get up now, and it really does influence decisions. And you start to worry when things like that happen. But he was a dead duck when. You know, first of all, when he got charged, I thought it was ridiculous that he even had to face a charge, that's the way they saw it.
And they
buried himself the week before.
Correct.
So I suppose they had to teach him a lesson in the end.
Correct, because they actually, the week before, the AFL didn't ask for a suspension. They asked for a fine.
Yeah.
Well, they actually told him to go in and plead guilty and you'll get a fine. It was all orchestrated the week before and come back to bite him on the bum the next week.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mate, we thank you again, as always, for your time. We've got to sort of wrap it up there. We've only got a few minutes till we've got to pass it on to our next program. Last show next week, grand final show. Looking forward to it. And, mate, thanks as always for coming on. It's been a beauty. You're a ripper. And the supporters love it, so I look forward to catching up with you.
I don't have to get near the rain. I'm in my car at the moment, and it's raining pretty bloody heavy over here. I hope you can hear that coming through and off.
I hope you remembered to untie the dog.
I've got the dog inside at the moment.
Good.
Well,
on that note, go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Go Blues. Talk to you next week. Have a great one.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Thanks, Hyfe.
Excellent. And yeah, hasn't he been a beauty this year? We look forward to next week and then hopefully getting him in next year. Just keep rolling the way it's been going this year. We've covered a lot today regarding the preliminary finals, I think. Final predictions on today's game. I'll get the ball rolling. I am going to predict Collingwood to win the game by anywhere between a goal, three goals. I think it'll be a lot closer than what people think. But don't be surprised if a physical side like GWS can upset them.
Bring him in.
Despite the stars being out, because they play very tough across the board as well. They won't be reliant on a couple of players. They won't go out there with any fear because Green and Whitfield aren't on their side. Yep. So just don't be surprised.
I think there's one thing Collingwood can't do, and it's what Brisbane did last week, kick the ball up high to Davis and Haynes because they'll intercept it every time.
Yeah.
They had about 15, 16 intercept marks last week, and Collingwood just can't play into the hands.
But with the wet weather, the markings may not be such a feature. So who have Collingwood got on the ground that can
just
kick
scramble
the ball
forward?
So
you got a few.
Does Elliott come into it?
They got a few.
Yeah,
Varco. Is he in? I don't think so.
I think he's just named,
I think he's in the team.
What do you reckon, Yuri, a prediction for today's game?
I think it'll be really close. Collingwood by 2 to 3 goals as well.
I'm going to go with my heart and not my head and say, go Giants.
Yes.
I'm going to say the Giants by a goal.
Yeah, nice. I like it. And look, for anyone that in Perth that wants to support, as we know, the ABCs of finals football is anyone but Collingwood. So if you want to support the Giants, get on down to the home of the WA Blues at the Empire, because it's also the home of the GWS Giants. They share it with us, and they'll be having a few guys down there enjoying the game and hoping for the best. So if you wear any other colours other than prison bars, get on down to the Empire, take advantage of the $6 Carlton draft pints and the food specials, and go and say good day to the Giants group and introduce them. A great bunch of ripping bunch of guys. There's been some fun stuff on social media with them as well. So go down there, support them, and don't support Collingwood.
Of course.
DSC and ABC don't support Collingwood, anyone but Collingwood. So get on down to the Empire and just have some fun, though, of course. You know, it's a family-friendly atmosphere down there. That's why we love it so much, and that's why we do what we do as well. But go on down there, support the venue, and enjoy the game with the Giants.
Yep.
And anyone else got anything? We've got a couple of minutes.
Do you want me to just do this little bit on mental health? It'll only take a minute.
Yes, please.
It won't even take a minute.
So it's not a weekly whack
this week.
Whack.
This is not a whack. Yep. I just want to just say something.
It's Chris's ramble.
I actually had this last week, but I'll do it this week. It's with the tragic death of Danny Frawley and, of course, his battles with mental health issues along the way, with the ongoing pressures of social media on the players, both current and past, which are relentless. People need to stop and think before they use social media and other forms of communication to criticise or bully someone and should think, would I like that to be said about me? It's always been a thing for males that you hide your issues and if you speak up, you're not strong enough and seen as weak. If you need help, please speak up. We're all here to help each other. Mm. We should all be able to confide with and speak to each other. This issue needs more awareness and more people to champion the cause. We had the great Kenny Hunter on the show earlier in the year, and he had issues and is now doing great things with Kenny Sheldon with the fifth quarter. We had Are You OK Day. So if you have a problem, please seek advice and speak up. It's becoming more and more an issue in society that requires a lot more to be done. Don't use that old men's phrase, if you have an issue, use a tissue. Please speak up.
Absolutely. Well said, Chris.
Right on, Chris.
And look, just on that, I think in society and in football clubs as well, where it's obviously got that history and tradition of being very alpha male and keeping things inside, they are getting better at it.
Much better. Yes.
You know, the people that carry on like idiots and say things like they're the ones that end up getting isolated and probably end up needing the help in the end.
True.
Right? Mm. So that the amateur clubs out there, if you're involved with football still, if you're young enough, not like me, and you're still playing, and you're, or whatever level, administration, if you've got issues, use those conduits.
Yes.
Because amateur football clubs now are switched onto it. I mean, well, there's not many positives to take out of a situation like Danny Frawley's, but if there is one, is the awareness that it creates.
Yep.
It gets people on board with advocacy, and the amateur clubs are involved in that as well. So there is someone that's going to listen to you and support you a lot more than what you think. So if you do have issues, like Chris said, reach out. Yep. Reach out to your footy clubs, reach out to your family, your friends, whoever you think you're comfortable to, whether it be ringing Lifeline, or if it's that dire in your situation.
Yes.
There's someone that you can speak to. So well said, Brandy. I'm really glad you did that. And you as well today, Andy, again, speaking about it. And it is time to go. We've got to bring our friends on. They're up and about, of course, the WA Magpies. So I hope they have a good show. And I hope they get pumped by the Giants.
Go Giants.
And, of course, last show next week. Yep.
Go Blues.
Go Baggers. And they will know that they've been playing against the fans.